kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
And we're calling our teaching, Do You Believe You Can Take the Land? Do you believe you can take the land? You know, we have to learn as overcomers that we are taking back what is legally belongs to the sons of God. There's no two ways about it. This is all part of our pressing in as overcomers. And we are beginning to learn through faith and through the promises of God's word that the devil and his hosts are predators. They're thieves, murderers, liars. And they have robbed for centuries what belongs to the church. And sadly, a lot of that has happened through unbelief, through a loss of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, where the church moved into the dark ages for many centuries. But we're now on the brink of restoration. We've all been empowered by the Holy Spirit. God has come again and he's speaking to his people, this last generation. And he has gone before to lead and guide us, to reveal to us what legally belongs to the sons of God, what Christ redeemed and purchased for us at Calvary. And God is going to unveil and turn over every stone so that we can see what is rightfully ours in Jesus Christ. And he expects us to do this. Why do I stress so much on this? Because the children of Israel failed to take the promised land fully. They only partly inherited the promised land. Because of disobedience, unbelief, rebellion, they perished in the wilderness. But there is a spiritual land presented now to the church that is to be finally taken. We've read it in Romans 8. I'm reminded of something that happened during the war and after the war. One of the things that the Nazis did, they stole great works of art from galleries, from homes that they took over, big estates and castles and so on. They stole a lot of valuable work, art. And it's been interesting, and this still goes on even now, but a lot of that work had to be traced after the war. It had to be sought after. A lot of this was left in Switzerland. Some galleries took these stolen works of art and so on. And there was a big move, and it still goes on, I might add, to take back what was stolen from owners, private people, their artwork and so on. A lot of this is being restored. From all over the world, this was sold to make money. And so there has been a big move over the years to bring back these works of art where they rightfully belong. And I was reminded of this Well, how much more us in the house of God? What has been stolen has been taken by the powers of darkness. One of the works that Christ did at Calvary was to restore dominion and restore our inheritance that we have in Jesus Christ. And I have been laboring with this over the last few weeks over sonship and how God is raising sons now in this last day to rule and reign with Christ. It means dominion. It means taking back that which has been stolen. And you will only fight and persist if you know what belongs to you. And that is the key to this. You will only fight, you will only press in, you will only do what you know is rightfully yours. That is human nature. If anybody trespasses in your house or your garden, you would take the appropriate action to remove them. Or if they steal anything, you will try and get it back. That is human nature. It belongs to me. It's my property. Well, let's take that over to what God has given to the sons of God. We're co-heirs with Christ. We rule and reign with him. It's already started to be implemented to us through the promises of God's word, through the anointed teaching, to stir us up, to show us what the enemy has stolen from the body of Christ. And you will only fight and persist when you know what belongs to you. You would be concerned if your property and money that was left to you was stolen by somebody else. This is why you have such problems with wills that are made. And the problem that we have today is that wills can so easily be contested because you've got families who come out of the woodwork you haven't seen for years suddenly claiming their rights. Same thing. Same thing that goes on. Well, let's turn to John chapter 10 and verse 10 I want to look at here. And this is in the context of Jesus, who is the good shepherd. And he is the doorway into the kingdom. And he shows that there is a broad way and a narrow way. We've looked at all these things before. He's that good shepherd who looks after us, preserves and keeps us, and so on. And here it says in verse 10, "And the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." So he's revealing here first that the enemy, who is a predator, who comes to steal, notice what it says, he steals, he kills, he destroys, he hates anything that God blesses his people with. He hates anything that God builds. Remember that. And sometimes we have to hold on to it. He's trying to destroy us. He's trying to rob us of our salvation and our blessings that we have in Christ. And note what it says. It goes on. "I have come that they may have life." Praise God. If that's not good enough, that he's given us a new life in Jesus Christ. But it goes on further. "That they may have it" what? "More abundantly." So our blessings that we have in Christ is not only given, but it is given in abundance. Why do we let the enemy in and steal? Do you know why? Because we listen to his logic. We listen to the fears. We listen to the lies. And this is why God has to renew our mind, casting down those thoughts, imaginations, those things that the enemy has had access to. He is a liar. And sometimes you have to stand firm against these lies. And a lot of these lies sound very logical and plausible. They even can sound a good idea. But they are lies. And Jesus says, I've come abundantly to bless you, to protect you, to deliver you and preserve you from the subtlety of the enemy. It's all there, brothers and sisters. What does he say back in verse 1 of chapter 10 of John? He says, most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. And that's how the enemy works. That's how he sows the tares in the body of Christ. Sadly, we have the wheat and the tares. They try to get in like a thief in another way. They don't want to pay the cost. They don't want the consecration in their life. They don't want the prayer life and the walk of faith and obedience that goes with it. There's no shortcuts. But we go back and he says Christ has done it more abundantly. In other words, it means a hundredfold blessing that he's done it. And this is why overcomers are being trained, because of their position, to take back what is legally theirs in Christ. Did you know that that is what you are being trained for as sons and daughters of God? This is why it is the deeper life, because we are being trained to take back what is legally ours in Christ Jesus. And most of the churches today around the world are asleep to this. This is why we hold to the five wise virgins of the last day, who are going to claim the land spiritually, what belongs to us, who will not be put off by the giants, by the lies of the enemy, by the roar of the lion. We are learning his ways and how he works. And guess what? As we learn, and as God allows us to go through the fiery furnaces like Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, we find it doesn't consume us, the fire. We come out whole, not a head of hair singed or burnt. And what is also interesting is that they were tied up when they were put into the fiery furnace. When they came out, all that held them, those cords, were all gone. So God had those burnt up, but not them. And that is exactly the same spiritually, what he's doing with us. And finally, we get it. It drops that 18 inches. You know what? The devil cannot touch me. I won't respond anymore to that fear, to his lies, his deception. Here we are, brothers and sisters. Isn't this the evidence? God's brought us here today in this room, under his anointing, to listen to his word. Isn't that a sign he's protecting and preserving us, giving life in our lungs and breath? We're all coming through trials and tribulations, but they're all designed. They're all God's work to get us to believe the lies of the enemy. And he cannot and will not touch us. I'm reminded of what's going on globally at the moment with these truck drivers that started in Canada, who are peaceful. A lot of it is peaceful. It's gone worldwide. And you listen to them. They want their freedom back. They do not want any more these lies, this tyranny that comes from governments. They are telling them to leave our children alone. Do not inject them. They are rising up in the natural. And the global elite are very concerned. They weren't expecting this. This is part of our prayers, our intercessions. I am not saying that we go on these marches, we join them. We know what we do. We get on our knees. We get in prayer and warfare. But what am I trying to point here? Look in the natural. They are fighting for their liberty. They are fighting back for democracy. They're fighting for honesty in government. They are fighting against the corruption in so much governments today. They are trying to take back their countries, their land. Well, if you look at that, that's global, how much more with the sons of God? How much more do we rise up in our spiritual warfare against these demonic forces? Because that is what we're to do. They are demons that work behind all of this. This is all part of our spiritual warfare, taking back the land. Now, we know that we cannot change what is in the Word, particularly when we read in the book of Revelation. But I'll just say it again in passing, our warfare, our taking back the land spiritually is for the sons of God to come forth. Romans 12, the man-child is developing in the womb. The womb speaks of the church, the woman, which we come from. And we need all of this for our maturity, our development. Do you think the powers of darkness are going to let the son, the man-child come forth? Of course he's not. That's why the dragon is so close to the woman who's giving birth to the man-child. There is our warfare. We are the biggest threat at the moment to the powers of darkness. And they have tried everything to try and put us down or to suppress us or push us back. But you know what? Our faith knows that Jesus is always one step ahead. And he raises a standard against the enemy on the basis of faith and believing these promises. And that's why we walk as disciples. We walk the way of the cross, the deeper life. We know what our position is as sons before our sonship has unveiled to the world. At the moment, we are servants. We serve. We minister. That is our position. And we allow the Spirit to purify us through the trials and the testings, which what produces that consecration, gets that prayer life out of us, gets that faith, that victory. Your trials that you've gone through this week in nature is victorious for you. No matter how black, how it looks, how negative, it is to create victory in your life and my life. Hold on to that. Let that always be focal in your mind and thinking. Let's just remind ourselves what the Holy Spirit is doing in this hour. Let's turn to the book of Malachi, the book of Malachi, the minor prophets, chapter 3 and verse 3. Actually, let's go from verse 2. Malachi chapter 3, verse 2. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he's like a refiner's fire and like a launderer's soap. And he will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. And that is what God is doing. We are being refined as gold. For what? For worship, offering back. And all you can do is offer yourselves back. Romans 12, 1 and 2. You can't do any more than place yourself on that altar. Your heart, your life, your soul, your very being. You offer yourself back to him. And here it is, as an offering in righteousness. And how does he receive it? He receives it by purifying. And that is what he's doing. He's purifying the sons of God, that we may come forth in this last day to deliver groaning creation. What a blessing. What does it say in Isaiah? The book of Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61. And verses 6 and 7, Isaiah 61, verses 6 and 7. But you shall be named the priests of the Lord, and they shall call you the servants of our God. And you shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in the glory you shall boast. Instead of your shame, you shall have double honor. And instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. There's the promise of those who are purified, the sons of Levi. That is why don't attack the fire that purifies you. Don't run away from it. It won't destroy you. You will come out whole from it. It's interesting what we've just read there, but the Gentiles would be numbered among the sons of Levi as well. This is why we refer to the Levitical priesthood, which of course was a priesthood to minister unto God. They were separated from the people, but Gentiles were also numbered among them. And that's why we can identify with this. What does it say also in Isaiah 66, verse 19, 66 and verse 19, I will set a sign among them, and those among them who escape, I will send to the nations, to Tarshish and to Pal and Lud, who draw the bow, and Tubal and Javan to the coastlands afar off, who have not heard my fame nor seen my glory, and they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles. So can you not see Isaiah prophesies centuries back before Messiah came that Messiah would offer salvation to Gentiles? There's the foreknowledge of God, knowing that his people would reject Messiah. What does it say in 21 to 23 of the same chapter? It says, and I will also take some, and I will also take some off them from priests and Levites, says the Lord. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, says the Lord, so shall your descendants and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, All flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord, and they shall go forth and look upon the corpses of men who have transgressed against me, for their worm does not die, and their fire is not quenched, and they shall be an abhorrence to all flesh. So this is why we endure the fiery trials to purify us. Look what this fire is going to do to God's enemy. It will never quench. It will never be put out. They will be eternally in torment. Can you comprehend that? Can you get your head around that? I can't. Praise God for the good news of salvation in Christ Jesus. Look what he has delivered us from, brothers and sisters. Where we were once enemies of God, we are now at peace. And not only peace, but he's come offering sonship, that we cry out, Abba, Father. Hallelujah. What does it say in Psalm 118 and verse 22? We're looking at the sons of Levi. Do you know, it's interesting, but from the fall of Adam and Eve, we've seen a spiritual sons of Levi. In other words, we've seen the sons of God, the overcomers, the remnant, right from the fall of Adam. You see sons coming up right through the patriarchs, right through Israel, right through the judges, right through into the New Testament, into the church age. You see the trail of sons coming through. It's wonderful. It's all there when you see it, how God reveals himself in that way to mature into sonship, because most Christians reject it. They still want to remain children, weak, ineffectual. But it is time to grow up in Christ. And the way he does it is he purifies the sons of Levi through those fiery furnaces that we come forth as gold. What does he say here in Psalm 118 and verse 22? The stone of which the builder rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is a marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. They rejected Christ, and this is why they reject you. They've always rejected the sons of God. And sadly, many who confess Christ reject. And you know, if Christ came back now to the church, the tragedy is most of the church would reject him. That's the tragedy, the blindness. But those who are being purified for his appearing will not reject him, but will embrace him and receive him. And that is what he's doing now. This is why we don't have many following in the deeper life, because most want the broad way. When you go the narrow way means the way of trial and testing to make it into the kingdom of God. And God's grace is sufficient. He provides, he helps for this, so that we can mature in these trials, that we come forth in the last days as the sons of God. Romans 8. What does 1 Peter chapter 2 say? Let's turn to 1 Peter and chapter 2, verses 4 to 10. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 to 10. Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And what is the greatest sacrifice? Romans 12, 1 and 2. The offering of yourself, the placing of your heart on the altar. Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offence," which sadly up to day now to Israel he still is. But that will change in God's mercy. But it's not to the sons of God. This is why we have to take back what belongs to us. We cannot allow the enemy to steal any longer. And so we see right through the scriptures this spiritual Levi, sons of God, this priesthood. And this true priesthood will always allow the Spirit of God to purge, to purify, and to bring them forth as holy vessels unto God, fit for his use. I've got a few more scriptures here as I bring this to a conclusion to show you this, why God is now doing what he's doing. Revelation chapter 1, verses 4 to 8. Revelation chapter 1 and verses 4 to 8. "John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty." And note what he says in verse 6, "and has made us kings and priests to his God." Here again is that spiritual Levi, overcomers, and they will always allow God to do that work in their lives. And how is it done? It's done by letting go, by yielding to the Spirit, not resisting him. Let him build that priesthood through you and me and all who believe in this. He will do it, and he is doing it. What does it say in Revelation 5, verses 8 to 10? Revelation 5 and verses 8 to 10. "Now when he had taken the scroll, and four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints." There you are. God hears those prayers. It might not always be answered immediately, but there they are. Those prayers, those intercessions, your prayers, prayers for your loved ones, for your daughter, for your son, for your family, your husband, your wife, they're all there. "The golden bowl full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. There you go. There's the sons of Levi. There's the overcomers, the first fruits, the wise virgins. It runs right through Scripture. Many sons he has brought unto glory. All the patriarchs walked as sons. And what did God always present to them? Their inheritance. Win back the land. They knew there was a predator. Somebody had robbed, had taken. Because it's God's. It's our Father's. And our Father gives us gifts. And our Father has given us a land. A land that is good and plentiful. A land of peace. A land of promise. A land of healing, deliverance, salvation. Our Father has given us that. How can we allow the enemy to steal that from us? And this is why we have to take the kingdom, if need be, by force. And look what we're seeing around the world at the moment. How they're going out wanting their democracy back. Their freedom back. Well, if that's in the world, how much more than with us as the sons of God? It is time to wake up, brothers and sisters. Do you wish to be among the sons of Levi? Well, of course you do. And you know why? Because you've tasted that the land is good. You've seen what is in the land. Yes, there's obstacles, there's giants, there's mountains. But guess what? Jesus said, I've overcome all those. Cast them into the sea. Cast them as far away as the east is to the west. God has given you that authority to do that in Jesus' name. And finally, let's look at 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, young Timothy, the evangelist, the pastor, Paul is encouraging. The same today that God's encouraging you and I, that same Holy Spirit encouraging that young minister, the same Spirit today working with us. What is it saying? 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 to 8. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 6 to 8. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who love his appearing. So there we are, brothers and sisters. He says, I am already being poured out as an offering. And that is a son. That is an overcomer. That is a vessel that's allowed the Spirit to purge, to purify. He's the spiritual son of Levi. Same with us. It's what God pours out of you and I. And it can only be poured out of us when we take back what the devil has robbed. Then it can be poured out. And the time of my departure is at hand. Well, he's just waiting. He's looking. He's also believing for the rapture, just like we are. I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Do you know something? I think there's something there that we can glean from We're actually in this race ourselves, and we're coming to a place where we know we have done what is to be done on this earth. There'll be a knowledge, there'll be a revelation, there'll be an understanding, and it'll be where we start looking up, getting ready to be called, to be snatched away by the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe he's going to reveal that to us, just like he was revealing to the apostle here. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. Brothers and sisters, you have to know you are destined. You are going to be in the throne room of God with him, ruling and reigning. It is a revelation. It is revealed to you, brothers and sisters. This is why I labored in this on Tuesday and last week, that in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it is revealed to you that sonship, that Levitical priesthood. That's why we're called a royal priesthood. And here it all is. And he says, not to me only, but also to all who loved his appearing. And that's why we're here today, brothers and sisters, because we're ready. We love his appearing. We're waiting. We're looking. And he's going to come for us. He will not let us down. But before he comes, there is a taking back that the enemy has stolen. And God is going to put into you a tenacity. He's going to put into you a fight. He's going to put into you, you will not take any more of this. We will begin to grieve that we see our brothers and sisters, we see the state of the church. They're not going to do it, brothers and sisters. So stop wasting your prayers and intercessions because they're in denial. They're a little bit like headless chicken wandering around. It's not going to come from them until, sadly, they have to go through tribulation. Then they will wake up. Where is it going to come from? It's going to come from the sons of God. It's going to come from the wise virgins who will intercede, who will supplicate, who will pray. Because God will answer. Those prayers are there, which we read in Revelation 5. We're standing in the gap. And if we don't stand in the gap, then the enemy will destroy the Christian church as we know it. But he won't. He won't. Because God has raised sons. And sons are being trained to look after their master's house when he goes. Can you see the parallel? Can you see the mind of God, what he's doing? The church has to rise up where the children of Israel, Israel failed. Israel failed her sonship, but it will not be failed in the church of Jesus Christ. Now, in the latter rain, the outpouring of the Spirit. It is a rising up first in the Spirit of authority in Christ. And that is experienced by knowing through these promises, knowing the word of God, what God has legally given to us in Jesus Christ. Don't let him rob you anymore. Father, we thank you. Oh Lord, we thank you. You love us so much to reveal your heart, your word, your will now to the church in these last days. Lord, we know it's just a few of us, a handful. But then that was the same with Gideon. You reduced from over 30,000 to 300 because there were too many. You know in your infinite wisdom. But Lord, we rise up not in our own strength, but in the power and strength of the Holy Spirit. and we declare enough is enough. And we will take the land, we will take what is rightfully ours, what belongs to the church. Because you have given us that access. You have revealed that to us. And we will not any longer let the enemy steal.
Against all disaster, let him in constancy follow the master.
All lies down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus.